All right, and we're back. Thank you, everyone, and we're back to the top of the hour here, and I want to say thank you and happy Sunday to everyone out there. Thank you for being with us. All right, I see Cass Gut, Tina Anon, Crazy Hey Hey, Mr. Dynamix, how you doing? So-so, Medieval Dark Knight. I love how you guys do those little things with the things there. That's kind of crazy. I have to try to do something like that sometime. Pimp Daddy, Be Happy, good morning. James Harris, how you doing? Chris Shine, Jennifer Skornika, good morning. Dubious Maximus, good to see you. All right, well, this hour, we've got John Duresh from the National Liberty Alliance standing by in the room there. And as you know, John's been coming on every other week to kind of give us an update on what's going on and things happening over there at National Liberty Alliance. So, John, if you want to unmute there and pop in, and good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for having us again.
You bet. It's always great to see you, hear you.
I appreciate that. All right, well, maybe, I'll make a statement or two, and then maybe the best thing is maybe go into questions. Sure. We've covered a good synopsis of what we, the people, are doing at National Liberty Alliance in order to educate and communicate with, actually to create a place, a venue, where people can come together to become educated in the law and the powers and the authorities of the people to take back control of their government, and so that they can communicate and also organize. And of course, we have organized across the entire nation in every state of the union, and we have created a common law grand jury. We went through all of the counties in the nation, and then we created a state, unified state common law grand jury in every single state of the union, all 50.
Excellent.
And then we came together, those states came together and created the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. This past week, we've met together to consider an indictment for the governor down there in Virginia for what he's doing. And so we did make an indictment. It was a unanimous decision. We had quite a few people show up to sit on that grand jury. You know, being a grand jury that's unified and across the nation and representative of every state of the union, you know, we gathered together much more than 25 people. I know the civil courts do, I think, 24, 23 different states, maybe a little less, a little more. None of them are more, though. But the true common law grand jury starts off with a minimum of 25 people. But we have many times more than that to come together for the purpose of considering an indictment often. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did. We did indict him for subversion, we're going to be filing some papers concerning that problem to the United States Supreme Court. And I think we're going to escalate it and make it greater than what it is. You know, there are senators across this nation. We have two of them here in New York that are guilty of treason because they are subverting the Constitution by using their political positions that they were elected for to represent the people and support and protect and uphold the Constitution. And they took an oath for that purpose. And yet now they're working to dismantle it, to destroy it. And they are schooling people. They are aiding and abetting the enemy, the socialist movement in this country. Has moved into the courts on a very, very high level, and also, of course, into our political field. You can see what's going on in the Democratic Party, the socialism that they're pushing, and that is all treason. Yeah. Right up front, right in our face, it's treason. And unfortunately, people don't recognize it. They know something's wrong, but they don't understand that this is treason. And this is punishable by being hung by the neck, and left to die.
In many cases, or very long time in prison.
Right. And it's up to the jury to make those decisions on the depthness of their treason or subversion. Mm-hmm. Now, we didn't use the word treason in the beginning with this judge. We just used the word subversion, and we quoted a particular U.S. code that he had violated, that he is not supporting the law, and actually he's subverting the law. I forget the number of that code, but in any event, we performed that this week, and now we're going to write a paper, as I mentioned, filing in with the United States Supreme Court, and we're going to go after them. Look, we got to put it back on their doorstep. They're the responsible ones. They're the guilty ones. They're the ones that need to either step up and do the right thing or remove themselves from office, or we will remove them. Mm-hmm. They were given the power and the authority to oversee all of the federal district courts, and they're totally out of control. And they're doing whatever they please. They're operating under what's called Rule 2, which is no law at all. It's only a rule. But nevertheless, they claim that that rule changed our law, got rid of the law of the land, brought us into civil law. And people don't realize it. One of the things I'd like to say, though, we go out and speak to a lot of people in a lot of places, not so much as we used to, but now we're trying to get out as much as we can. And we bring forth the information necessary to empower people. Only the people can save America. Donald Trump cannot save America. And if you're sitting and waiting for that to happen, you know, I got a bridge.
You're going to get cobwebs.
Yeah, I'm going to get a bridge in Brooklyn. You can buy it. Mm-hmm. In any event, he can bring us to a place and bring justice and law, but it's up to the people to fill the power vacuum that the deep state has had control over for goodness, at bare minimum, since 1963.
But what has he been saying? He's saying we are returning the power to the people.
And the people got to take it.
And the people have to stand up and take that power and under the Constitution as the guide and the boundaries of that, the power that they give to the government. But it's also, it speaks for anybody that wants to write a law or do anything that is going to affect the constituency as a whole. It all has to fit into the boundaries of the Constitution.
Correct. Yeah, it's ruled by the Constitution. It's the law of the land. But not anymore. And the people don't realize that. They have a facade up. They talk about the Constitution. They refer to it from time to time. And they make huge errors in their understanding of it. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people in power don't even know the Constitution at all. And yet they don't abide by it. They don't uphold it in the courts. Anybody that gets into the court that's going up against the status quo will find very quickly that they have no unalienable rights anymore. They have civil rights, and they can give them to them if they want or they not. They're in courts in jurisdictions unknown. They don't know that. All the juries are stacked, whether it's grand juries, trial juries, all stacked. They get the results that they're looking for. Occasionally, you get a runaway grand jury or a runaway trial jury that does the right thing, but that's rare because of education. People don't know. But if a people expect to be ignorant and free, Thomas Jefferson said, they expect what never was and never will be. Mm-hmm. So anyway, as I was starting to say, you know, we come out and try to talk to as many people as we can. I was talking with Gerard. He's one of the national leaders here at National Liberty Alliance. He's a founding member, one of the founding members. And I was talking with him about, you know, the lack of response that we're getting from people. You know, we have over 8,000 people. It's taken us a long time to accumulate that kind of a number. But we do go and speak to people, sometimes 1,000, sometimes 5,000, sometimes unknown, you know, in different radio programs that also go out on the AM or FM bands. And so we don't really know how many people sometimes it's going out to. But I'm kind of depressed from time to time to see the lack of response. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think, in my thinking, it's my experience in thinking this, that people say in their minds, well, I'm busy, I got things in life, I got my children, I got my wife, I got my work, I got to do this and I got to do that, and I'll let the other guy do it. Well, I'm here to say the other guy's not doing it.
Yeah, the other guy's saying, I'm going to let the other guy do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we need 30,000 people to make this effective. We only got 8,000, and even all of that 8,000 is not all that active, of course, mm-hmm. but we are a pretty active group. We do get a good response when we do certain work. But in any event, you know, Gerard was saying, well, look, we go out and we speak to people, you know, we would expect 20%. And so let's say 20% to actually respond. But we don't get that. And I'm challenging the people. I'm challenging your patriotism. I'm challenging your morals, and to do the right thing, and to step up and take power. Mm-hmm. And if not, if you can't put the time in, you know, occasionally you might be able to put time, get in, join, educate yourself, and support the people who are trying to take back control of this nation. So I challenge the people to come out and get a proper education. The biggest problem is people think they know something and they don't. They think they know things about the Constitution. And yeah, a little truth here or there, but basically they don't. They don't know. And people think they understand the court system, or they understand that the Constitution is going to prevail in the courts. It's not.
They stopped really teaching the Constitution during the time that I was in those grades, where I should have been getting a much better education as to what the Constitution is about. Okay, so that was in the 60s and the 70s.
Correct. They have outcome-based education. Mm-hmm. The outcome is socialism. Mm-hmm. And people better wake up to that. Your children are socialists. They're being trained to be socialist. You need to counteract that. You need to stop that. You need to open the textbooks of the children. Look at, they don't even send children home with textbooks. They send them home with places to go online to do some kind of a project that they put up there, or they'll give them three or four pieces of paper that they run off of a copier, and they come. So you don't have a textbook to see what they're being taught.
People, well, when you find out who's been actually
with their children.
Well, when you look at who's been actually publishing the textbooks too, they're part of the deep state as well. About a month ago, we started digging into that. Macmillan is one of the big textbook publishers out there, and they're part of the deep state too.
Absolutely. Look, I think it was Kellyanne that had made mention something of this nature, or someone out of the administration anyway, concerning the fact that education needs to go back to the grassroots. Mm-hmm. And it needs to go back to the Board of Elections. You need to get involved in your school. We need to join up together and take our school back. You know, we have a mission here at National Liberty Alliance. The first order of business is to empower ourselves to take back our courts. These are courts of the people, not of the government, not of the agents of government. It's the people. Government does not have anything to say inside a court of law. Judges are not judges, they're magistrates. Magistrates are administrators. All they do is they interpret and put down onto the paper the will of the jury, and confirm that will with the jury, and then enforce it. Puts a signature, a seal, and sends it to the sheriff for enforcement. Mm-hmm. That's the only power that individual has. Of course, you know, we set him up as a traffic cop to make sure things run through the court, sides go back and forth, and the process moves. So, of course, with that ability they have too. But they have no ruling of power. They have no authority. They have no requirement to tell the jury what the law is. The jury decides for themselves, and they need to be understand this. And this is what we're building administrations across this nation. Four people in every county. And this is a full-time job, paid position, because right now people are doing this, and it's them that's doing it. We need to take it away from them and bring it back to the people.
And the thing is,
created a plan.
Well, and my understanding, excuse me for interrupting, but you know, these courts that you're talking about, John, once they are established and capable of doing the job that they're made to do, these other courts just go away. They have no power. They have no authority. At that point, they can't even fight against these other courts, because the common law court can actually bring these other courts in for masquerading as a government, if nothing else, you know.
Common law courts appeal to no one. They put out orders, and they must be obeyed. End mm-hmm. of subject, nothing to talk about. It mm-hmm. is we the people. It mm-hmm. is we the people that ordained and established the Constitution for them. Mm-hmm. We empowered them with power. We vested Congress with power. We vested the United States Supreme Court with power, and the federal judiciary. We vested the administration, the president, with power. And so we, the people, have total common law is the people. Mm-hmm. We control everything. We control the political process. We decide who goes onto the ballots. We don't anymore. And people don't know how to do that. we're teaching that, and it's called the committee man process.
Mm-hmm.
The committee man process finds its roots all the way back into the militia going into the 1600s. And our founding fathers all belonged to the militia. You know, it wasn't a matter of joining the militia. You are the militia, okay? And they would muster together, and it was the militia that formed the committees of safety in order to bring forth the Continental Congress, which created this nation and fought the war and took us to a place where we would have a country, a nation of law. And once they did that, the militia, which were the committees of safety, then morphed into the committee man. It is the committee man, the people on the grassroots level. One person from every election district comes together and decides. They interview the people that want to run for office, and they decide who's going on the ballot. Mm-hmm. How come people don't know this? Who's doing this? It's the party bosses, the powers that be, that's doing this.
Yes. They hijacked it by putting their people into those positions that decide who goes on the ballot. And
well, absolutely.
Then they observe it.
Yeah, but those people are really being conned also. They think they're getting a vote and they're not. The whole thing is rigged. It's nothing but a rigged system. President Washington spoke about this when he left the office in his farewell address, and he spent two-thirds of his farewell talking about the problems, the political problems that were arising and coming up, and his fear. And he talked about private associations, such as the Republican Party, a private association, the Democratic Party, a private associations that would seize the power and then destroy the very engines that brought them up. And then they would maintain power and oscillate it between themselves from year to year. And they've been doing that for over 100 years at this, well, close to 100 years, I'm sure, at this point. Mm-hmm. Definitely since 1950, so what's that, 70 years. So, you know, this is the problem, and people forgot who the committee man is. But they even wrote in a process for the private associations to come into play, but makes the point clearly, well, I wouldn't say clearly, it's hidden, that they really are not elected. They have no power. They have no authority. And the law that's written in there, it's still in there, okay, that gives the power and the authority of the people to become the committee men, take that process over. And once we take it over, first we have to take the courts back. And we're now moving forward for people to join to become run for committee men this year. And in some states, they're running in March, so people need to get together now. But they run throughout the year for up until, I think, July or August, maybe even later than that in some states. But once the committee man process, we want to take the committee man process back, then we will bring back the Republican and the Democratic Party's names back to where it belongs, to the people. And all those private associations, those buildings that they have with people in it and offices, and they have phones and computers, and they collect money, and they do all things in the name of the Republican Party, in the name of the all that must cease and desist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're not going to do that without empowering ourselves in the courts first to be able to push that process too. Meanwhile, people need to get elected.
John,
I also need to join the militia.
Yeah, I've got a question from one of our chatters in the live chat here on YouTube. He says, "How is Liberty Alliance funding these paid positions in every county?" Okay, now first off, I would say it's not Liberty Alliance. This is a government position. But if you can explain where the funding for these positions and their offices comes from.
Right. Every state has a controller. Every county has a controller. And the money flows down through these controllers to be funneled out for the necessary purposes of running government. And there's X amount of dollars that come down through the process where the controller puts forth out and gives it to the Bar Association. It gives it to people who are, for instance, prosecutors. And it gives them to the judiciary, gives the money to them. And they are the people who are deciding all of these things. They're the ones that orientate the juries. They're the ones that write the papers, repugnant rules and information concerning grand juries and trial juries. And let me tell you, it is destructive. And by the way, President Clinton wrote the rules for the courts, for the juries, the grand jury and the trial jury. I'm trying to think of the name of the other person who wrote it with him. But again, another enemy of the people. So these people have taken total control. They've bastardized the whole system. They've destroyed common law, and only the people could take it back. And I want to tell you, we have a very small window of opportunity. Okay, very small. When Trump is out of office, this is done at this point. Yeah, maybe we'll get someone else to continue. But if the people have not empowered themselves by then, they never will. And we will lose it all. You will not have liberty. Your posterity will not have liberty. Your neighbors, it'll be gone and lost forever. And right now, in the minds of the people, they think they know, but they don't know. They don't know the process. They don't know the system. They don't truly know the power and the authority that they truly have. You know, we answer only to the law of God. We don't answer. That's the law of the land. That is common law. That's a law court. There are two courts, law and equity. We're in the law court. Has nothing to do with the legislation of men. We cannot be controlled by the legislation of men. We must participate in a process and agree to it to be controlled by it. Anybody who's elected to office, for instance, is controlled by U.S. on a federal level, is controlled by U.S. codes, titles, 1 through 57. One title controls the Navy. Another one controls the FBI and other agencies, and this agency, and the president, and the Congress, and the judiciary. You know, each title has its purpose. Okay, and so they participate. They want to participate by becoming a judge or becoming. Then they're agreeing to agree to those systems to fall under what's called equity. That's equity. Okay, law is natural law. Okay, it doesn't come from man, it comes from God. You already know, thou shalt not kill. God wrote it into or steal and hurt. You know, the very simple thing in common law, and if you follow this rule, you'll never get in trouble. That is, do no harm, period. Nothing else to talk about. It's that simple.
You know, and what where people have when you have businesses that have gotten so large that they wield a financial and public image power, okay, that has influenced our government. That's where this corporate monster that got started, became the what became the government, basically. And it's been that way since, 1876.
Well, there's really no problem with the government. It's the people running it. But go ahead.
But the problem is the lower courts or the common, I wouldn't say lower courts, the common law courts, kind of got left on the wayside, and then people stopped. I think insisting that it be participated in, and people lost there was no education towards it. I'm not trying to make excuses for any of this, you know, but we got away from it. And now when we, you listen to, what has happened over the last several years where, you know, you have people standing up and talking about all those darn constitutionalists, those people that talk about being sovereign citizens and then you have these crazy militias out there running around in the trees, you know, in the woods with their camis on and all this stuff. You know, they've done a very good job of maligning all of that stuff. When in fact, the whole reason they were maligning it because they knew the power that it had, and if the people were to get organized with those things, and actually the people that were claiming all of that knew all of the truth and understood a lot of it. Some of them half understood, half knew, but they knew the basics enough to know that we are we're not to be governed by a government. We are the government. And so what you're saying, John, is very, very important, and I appreciate you laying it out.
Liberty's lamp is flickering. It's flickering. It's about to go out. There is, and I challenge anybody to find anything else. There is no one, nowhere, no organization. If they're out there, we have no clue. We have never heard of them. We've searched all over looking for others. There is no one out there that is teaching the people how to literally become free, to take total control. There is no solid plan for people to come together, to take back the political process, to take back the judicial process, to take back everything except for what's being taught at nationallibertyalliance.org. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the first thing you see is our plan right there. Click on the plan and you'll find it's a 24-page PDF, and it lays our plan out very clearly. You read through that page and then you'll understand who we are and what we're doing and how we came about being who we are. And then after that, we have tons and tons of information. We have education on our website. We just recently started working with the militias down in Virginia, mm-hmm. and we're organizing that nationally. We're going to be organizing. We've also put a web address up for that, which is nationalmilitiaalliance.org. And
which heading is that under there, John?
Excuse me?
Which heading on your website is that under?
If nationallibertyalliance.org, if you would put that in, you would go to People's Duty, and you'll come down to militia registration. Okay, if you click on that, that's the landing page for National Militia Alliance. Matter of fact, I'm going to put up where it says register for the militia in that area. I'm probably going to put National Militia Alliance. Okay. And but they're working with us. We're working with them. They asked us to assist them. We're working with Brent Winters.
Brent Winters, who was on he was on this hour last week. So
that's correct. Yeah, I was here listening, and it was a great program. Mm-hmm. And so we're working together. Brent comes on and teaches on our program every Monday night. We have an open forum at every Monday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time till midnight, 3 hours every week. And you'll find the founding members up there who will answer any question, and we listen to any comment and idea. And if you get us with an error, we'll correct that error. Mm-hmm. But in any event, we've laid everything out for the people in order to empower them. And it's up to the people to come. If you
People should be just beating down the doors to get, your server should
absolutely
because of people coming to your website. Learning this information, this is so absolutely over the top necessary for us to start taking back and controlling our government as it was designed to be controlled by the people. And the amount of information that you guys have on this website is absolutely incredible, and it's there to teach the people about how the government works and what your role in it is and what your responsibilities within those roles are. And, you don't have to know everything up front, but you need to start the education now and get in here and utilize this website, folks. From the first time I came to National Liberty Alliance website many, many years ago to where it is now, these folks have done an incredible amount of work to put together incredible information, incredible learning sessions and civics courses and things like that that you can, at your own leisure, at your computer, as easy as you're sitting here listening to me right now, you can be over there at Liberty National Liberty Alliance.
Yep.
And, be self-educating yourself to a level where you can actively begin to take back our country and do it in a manner that it really won't upset a lot of things other than, you may find you have a lot more freedom on the other end of it,
Absolutely.
And a lot less headaches from this creature that has been doing nothing but trying to deceive you and misdirect you from being able to understand exactly where your power is and how you can use that power to simplify your life and just make things better for all of us as a whole. I noticed that Gerard has joined us on the
okay, great.
Site here.
Let me finish a couple of points, and then maybe Gerard will say something. you know, the when you go to this our website, we have a committee, okay, and they're really they try to welcome people. It's called the Welcoming Committee. Mm-hmm. And they put together a program to assist people on how to get through our website and to see what's where and what we suggest you should first do. But it is pretty simple, though, if you follow the other process. You know, we have three courses up there now. If you go to the course link and highlight that, there is the free civics course. This is a huge course. It's extremely important. It's 120 hours, mostly video and audio, and then we ask questions as we move along through that. History, get into American history. We have all the documentaries up there from, goodness, what's his name? Help me out there, Gerard. Oh, hang on. Okay. Anyway, we have a lot of documentaries up there. We show the people. Griffin, by the way.
Oh, G. Edward Griffin. Yes.
G. Edward Griffin, his documentaries. We got maybe about 18 or 19 or whatever it is that he's got. We got them all up there.
Oh, he's
we
got
put them into the course.
Yeah.
We have them on the website, but we put them into the course. But when you go through this course, at the end of this course, you will understand exactly how these people did what they did and how far back they go. They go all the way back to 1776, mm-hmm. okay, at the beginning of our nation, when the Declaration of Independence, the enemy was already there in the game. They were in there with the negotiation for the Federalist, and the Anti-Federalist was really came together to deal with those people because they were really trying to bring us into a strong, federal government and eventually destroy us like they destroyed England. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that free civics course is extremely important. We used to have a free constitutional course. People that are in that course can continue to take that. But we shut that one down because we created the government by consent course. And that's a much, much better in-depth course. That other course was put together very quickly. It wasn't very in-depth. But the one government by consent course, that course is extremely deep. It gets into all the details. And again, nobody has to remember these things. You have to become familiar with them. If you really dive into it and you want to know these things, the more time you spend, the better you can articulate what these things are and how things happened. Mm-hmm. But in any event, just read. Get your noses out of your smartphones and put them into our courses, put them into our books, and get to understand, empower yourself and empower your children, empower your spouse, empower your friends, your neighbors. And let's take back this nation. We also have, we just put up a militia course, and I collaborated with Brent Winters to put this together. And so now that course is effective right now. People can go up and take it. And the most important one, though, and you could take them all at the same time, you know, when you go to school, you know, you have different subjects, so you can work with it that way. But the most important of all these courses is the government by consent course. This is the one that truly empowers the people. And this is the one that'll teach you how to take back our courts, how to take back our political process, to get rid of the politics, get rid of all that funny money there in Washington, and require a total 100% obedience or removal from office of all these elected officials. We got that power. We got the process to do it, but people need to get up and take up that power and exercise it in their county level, in their town level, and let's take back this nation. We need to take back our schools and get a proper education, because right now they're producing socialists. We need to counteract that and bring back our heritage into the school so these children grow up and understand the sense of duties that they have. And the duty of every person is to become a committee man at least one time in your lifetime. One time. It's only about 40 hours a week. 40 hours a year. That's it. Around election time. Mm-hmm. You get to interview these people and require only statesmen to get onto that ballot. And a statesman is an individual who knows the Constitution and understands the powers and the authorities of the office that they are running for. And in order for you to make sure they know it, you need to know it. So mm-hmm. committee men will know these things, and collectively, we're all the committee men together, we can work out all the necessary knowledge to be able to interview these people and get them on the ballot.
Absolutely.
We can recall these people when they break their oath, mm-hmm. when they violate their oath, and they start going a different way, or use it as a platform to build the socialism. We can remove them. We need to take back our courts by taking back, of course, the process, the administration. But again, the money comes from comes from the comptroller on the county level, who puts forth the money for the court within that county.
Now, where does the county is that through taxes, fees?
Oh yeah, taxes.
Excise,
lawful taxes.
Excise taxes, import. You know, like when we talk about international trade, there's tariffs and things like that.
Any and all lawful taxes come in together. A lot of it comes into the federal level. Some comes in on the state level. Mm-hmm. And very little comes in on the county level. But mm-hmm. collectively, the states need to ultimately take money and support the counties. New York State mm-hmm. has 62 counties, so there are 62. We call them Supreme Courts. Mm-hmm. So we have 62 state courts, Supreme Courts. And they have to fund all the necessary operations for that. They also mm-hmm. have to fund the Board of Elections. There's a Board of Election in every county, and they have to fund the process and procedures, you know, that take place mm-hmm. there. And that's where the committeemen come into play. Mm-hmm. But if we exercise the Constitution, which is what we're teaching people to do by taking power and exercising that Constitution, if we exercise that Constitution and apply it to the people we put in office, politics will be a thing of the past. Politics mm-hmm. is a created process by the isms, the socialism, communism.
Correct.
It's putting one end against the other, the right against the left, the black against the white, the Christians against the Jews. Whatever they can do, there's a divider.
Yes.
That all needs to go. Politics is irrelevant and is not necessary to run a government. What's necessary to run a government, at least the government we have, the only one of the world ever, and that is our constitutional government. It's mm-hmm. a republic. We exercise that. Mm-hmm. There's nothing for them to figure out. They just need to follow the process, the plan that's in the Constitution and the proper and lawful legislation that our legislators write.
And one of the things that I'd like to bring up, too, is the taxes. We complain about the taxes. We complain about the cost of government. Believe it or not, what's going to happen when all of this is said and done is our government will actually be much, much cheaper to operate because, for one, we won't have the graft that's been going on where these people have been lining their own pockets, lining the pockets of their buddies and friends with tax dollars through grants and loans out to Burisma and all this, you know, picking of winners and losers in the corporate markets for political payback that also involves, you know, paper bags full of cash, you know, God knows what else. And the other thing is the lawlessness that we've been dealing with. You know, once we get a control of all of this and we cut down the lawlessness of the drug running, the human trafficking running, and all of this other stuff, the cost of our government will diminish considerably. The waste, fraud, and abuse that's within our government is, you know, that's just another way they have of hiding how much money they've actually been stealing from us. So when you start talking about the taxes that may be lawfully implied upon the citizens of the country, you're still talking a much, probably, you know, anywhere from a half to three quarters less than what we actually pay now, and maybe even more. We won't have to work through the inflation factor because if we get this financial system straightened out, we're going to be on a solidly backed financial system where inflation is just a thing of the past. Because if inflation is the only reason we have inflation is to it was a mechanism to save the central bank fiat currency system. All of these things, you know. So when you start talking about, you know, like a paid committee member, a position of a jury administrator, some of the other things, those will be the money is there, and it's not going to cost a small fortune to, you know, the rest of the citizenry.
It'll cost less because
yes,
we can go
be.
Without waste.
They're, yeah, they're,
look
they're,
at right now the judges and all of the Bar Association, and they're greedy. They just want money,
oh, yeah.
money.
Yeah.
And believe me, they give them some raises. They take they got ways to take money out of the system.
Absolutely.
Okay? But when we come in, we the people, we probably can operate on like a quarter or maybe even less than that. Of
I would say, yeah, absolutely. And I want to say, Gerard, welcome to the discussion. Good to see you.
Yeah, good to be here. Nice stuff going on here. I was going to say, look, they're taking all this money anyway. They're just misappropriating it, and they're taking 10 times more than they should take. And what are you getting for it? You're not getting anything for it. They're doing what they want to do, not what the people necessarily
want. Well, we are getting the shaft for it.
Absolutely. But, you know, part of it's our problem, because the more you ask government to do, the more excuse they have to take.
Yes.
And that's what's been going on. You know, they created this welfare state, and now you got the state as daddy. And whenever you have a problem, daddy will take care of it. That's a problem. And we've had too many generations. It doesn't, you know, that doesn't go away overnight. You got this welfare mentality. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, as far as taxes go, look, they are on a welfare mentality, the politicians, the officials. First of all, private property should never be taxed. It was never meant to be taxed. It's unconstitutional. If I can't own my property without you taxing it, then I don't own it. You own it.
Yeah.
So essentially,
and by the way, your income is your property.
That's right. Yeah, because I put my sweat into it. And, mm-hmm. and technically, the way the tax law is written, and people don't know this, it says that it's minus expenses. Well, what's an expense? It's your labor to your boss. That was your expense. And technically, all that income is tax-free. So if you did your taxes right and you filled out the expenses portion first, which they tend to ignore, you'd have to deduct all your labor from your pay. And that would result in a net zero. Mm-hmm. But they've got us. And that's still on the books. It's on the books. It's been argued. But they have such a way of controlling the news and the media and the way information gets out. Most people are ignorant to it. Mm-hmm. Now, think about it. You know, all our rights in America are couched in property rights. And your first piece of property is what? Your body.
Yep.
And after that, then someplace to put your body. Look at you. You can't be free if you can't own a piece of property that you own that nobody can tell you what to do with. Because I could say, look, you're free, you own your body. I mean, we don't even own our body. They want to tell us what to put in it, vaccinations, this, that, the other thing. But that being said, if we owned our bodies, that even would not be good enough, because we need a place to exercise our pursuit of life, liberty, and these things that were written in. So mm-hmm. property is a very important concept. And by them being able to control it and tax it, now you don't have freedom. Look, I know you can rent the place, but along with rental, the landlord tells you can have this or you can't have that. So you're really not free. You have to live by those rules. They're not your rules. They're your landlord's rule. And that's where we get landlord from. He's like your lord. Mm-hmm. So the government is now the property owner, basically. So they control everything. And I think the best thing can happen is this thing reaches ahead and knocks them off the tip, because that's what they're on. Mm-hmm. they're so used to sucking at this endless, you know, udder that they think they're going to get this milk from the people, and the people are dry. The cow's dried up now. We have to do something different. And this is it. Mm-hmm. And it's up to the people. It's not, look, government's never going to fix itself. And that's the other problem. We go into these courts looking for justice. They're not even our courts. It's like it says in the Bible. He says, why do you go to their courts looking for justice? It's because they're not playing by the same rules. You know, our courts were set up under a system that's under the God of nature and nature's God. Well, what is that? Well, that's the Ten Commandments. Hello. If you don't know that, mm-hmm. you know, you need to do some research, because that's the premise here in America. This is one of the only countries that was founded under that. Mm-hmm. Besides Israel in the desert, they were founded under that, and then that was bequeathed to us. And look, if you don't like it, you're getting benefits from it, so shut your mouth and enjoy the freedom. You know what I mean?
So, hey, one of the things, I've got a question for either one of you, if you want to. It's a pretty simple one, but I'm making a point here. Now, I do know that the current equity court system, every courtroom in America has a tax ID number. Now, will that be the case for the common law courtroom?
It should not be.
You're right.
You do a tax ID number, you know what that does?
You're a tax collector.
Well, you're also an entity of the state.
Yes.
I don't care if you're a 501(c) or whatever you think you are. It's a corporation, and it's a creation of the state.
Yes. Right. Only corporations have that.
Yep.
Right. Well, and they should not they make us all corporations too.
Yeah, they should not be corporations. Government agencies and things are exactly that. They're trust, ultimately. Mm-hmm. That's why they call them, or when you take an office, it's an office of trust. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's a trust that they're dealing with. Here's another big mistake people don't realize, and I heard very educated people even saying this. People who should know better, that do know the Constitution and articulate it well and so on and so forth, but they make this mistake, and they call the Constitution a contract. It absolutely, 100%, without any doubt, is not a contract. Okay? A contract is the meeting of the minds. Okay? We didn't get people together to say, okay, you're going to be the government and we're going to be the people. And we didn't negotiate and have a meeting of minds. No, we wrote down the law. We ordained and established it. The Constitution is the law of the land, and it says so within it. It is not a contract. Once you make it a contract, it becomes negotiable from both sides. Mm-hmm. That is not the case. We are dictators. The people are the dictators to the government by the Constitution. We ordained, we established, we set forth six prime directives for them. And any action they do, any action they perform, must represent and show, bring forth one of those prime directives. Okay, and you'll find that right there in the preamble of the Constitution.
And it's not through a democracy; it's through a representative republic.
Exactly. We use a democratic process to elect our representatives. That's it.
Yeah. There's a question out here. Melissa Perry is asking, please ask what can be done about Congress voting themselves raises. there you go. Who wants to chomp on that one?
They can do that. Okay, but remember, if they vote themselves a raise, it's got to be approved. The Senate has to go along with it. Okay, and then the president, he could veto it. So it's not so easy for them to get
some checks
raised.
And balances there, huh?
That's the balance of power. And mm-hmm. that's the other problem. Look at, people have no clue. They do not understand that states no longer are sovereign. They've removed the sovereignty of the states through the 17th Amendment. They've removed the sovereignty of the people through Rule 3 or the Rules Enabling Act of 1934. Your rights have been gone. You don't have unalienable rights. You have civil rights. And that's what they said. And they did it by rule. And it wasn't even part of legislation. But look at, they worked together on this. This was subversion. This was conspiracy.
It was.
Congress and the courts did this together. Not every member of Congress and not every member of the court. But those who were able to take control of those two powers at some time, a long time ago, did this. And people don't realize it. They don't know. So we need to bring the power back to the states and make them sovereign again, because they have no vote. The federal government can do whatever they want, and there is no vote because they don't control their senators. The states, mm-hmm. the legislators of the states are meant to control the senators. They created two houses, one for the states and one for the people. Mm-hmm. And then the big argument or the debate came, well, how do we elect our president? Well, we have the electoral process. That was negotiated out. It was hammered out and figured out. Okay, look at, the states will do it. They'll do it by a certain amount of numbers that they have, electoral votes, and so on and so forth. But let the people of the state decide, whether they're going to get that state's votes or not.
And something else that is important to think about. Now, look at what's happening back in Virginia. Now, there is a process where if these people take an egregious action, you always hear, well, you can vote them out. Okay. Well, no, you can actually remove them. And the process, if you understand the power that we have as the people, we don't have to wait for the next election.
Those people,
we can actually remove them from office. And the process, if you've got your act together, you got all your stuff in one sock, can take as little as 90 days, and these people can be gone. And that's what's going to keep people from, like Baby Rock is asking out here in the chat, do we the people get to change that amendment? Okay, now, when these people start acting out and operating in a manner that's not in accordance with the definitions that we have set for their authority, then you know, they either straighten up or we remove them immediately and put somebody else in there. Now, when you start, when you've done that a few times, you know, you basically done, you know, the apprentice and said, you're fired. And you do that a few times and they are gone. They are out. They're done. And you get somebody else in there and people start to get the idea that, oh, wait a minute. If I want to stay here and continue to serve my country in an honorable and, appropriate way, I guess, I can't, you know, that's not going to be tolerated anymore. And once the people get used to that process and understand that it's there, that's extremely powerful.
Well, let me
ask
you,
these people in line.
The person out there in the text, area asked the question, how do we fix that amendment? Were they talking about the 17th
yes.
Amendment?
Yes.
Well, let's make this very, very clear. First of all, we the people, through the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, is now come to a position, after 2 years in court, we've come to the positions of decisions. And we are filing decisions and writs mandamuses. And we have filed with the United States Supreme Court in their face, hammered it and onto the door. We don't care what they do with it, but it's the law. And we filed it with the Justice Department. We filed it with the President of the United States, both houses of Congress. And we went up against Congress in the same paperwork. And we have commanded them to fix this problem because the 17th Amendment not only is repugnant to the Constitution, it was never ratified. And
correct.
We have proof of that. We show that in our courses, as a matter of fact. And I'm writing a book, and it's going to be in that book. And you're going to see all the documentation concerning that process. So, number one, it hasn't been ratified. Mm-hmm. Number two, it's repugnant to the Constitution. And mm-hmm. the bottom line, it is no law at all. And we have commanded by writ mandamus for the United States Supreme Court to fix it from the judicial side. And we have commanded by writ mandamus to the both houses of Congress to fix it from the legislative side. Now, they are there. Well, they're falling on deaf ears. Now, first of all, there is a battle going on. So it would be problematic for them to fix it, and we understand that. So we still have that, you know, olive branch out for them. But the day will come when that swamp is drained, and these people have been arrested, and we've gotten rid of the deep state. At that moment in time, anybody who is not stepping up and working with the people, we are going after them for treason. We will indict them for treason. We will indict all nine, if it's necessary, United States Supreme Court justices, if at that point in time they don't step up and take control and bring these courts back under the Constitution, which is their job and their duty, and they took an oath to do that. And those are the people responsible, and we are going after them, and we are pounding them. Week by week, month by month, with papers and orders and writs. And they're not doing anything yet, okay? They're still kind of sitting there, but we understand they're stuck between a rock and a hard place, and there's a lot of fighting going on internally, and we're going to let that wind down. But once it's wound down, then the hammer of the people is going to come down, and it's going to bring justice upon them all. And we're going to start going after the people here. We're going to work and pivot off of or springboard off of what's going on down in Virginia. And we're going to take this nationally. And we're going to go out after every representative that is teaching and preaching and bringing forth socialism from their political positions, using that as a platform to bring forth the destruction of our Constitution, of mm-hmm. our heritage, of our way of life. And we're going to go after every single one of them, and we're going to start building them up and putting them on the papers. And we're going to nail it to the doors of the United States Supreme Court and all 94 federal district courts.
I'll tell you what, and John, that is exactly why, you know, the folks get over there and start learning these courses. Imagine the power that you will have once you learn and go through these courses that they have at National Liberty Alliance, and you know, teach yourself the civics of the situation, because that is so empowering, and you can empower other people by inspiring them with your knowledge of what is really the way our government is supposed to work. And if you want to fix this, if you want to see an end to this, it's right there. It's right there on that webpage at National Liberty Alliance. In
it's
these
your
courses.
Duty.
It is your duty.
You know, we have, if you go to our website where we ask for people to register for the militia. Every single person should register for the militia with us, and we will connect them as time goes on with the people in their county. We will teach them how to bring forth the militia in a proper, lawful manner, and to approach the sheriff so that he has posse comitatus possibilities. And we're not just creating just what they call the unorganized militia. Or actually properly should be called the reserved militia, okay? Mm-hmm. We're not just growing the reserve militia. We are growing the militia. And mm-hmm. those people will, you know, they're going to take a different kind of approach or respond a little differently because they're going to be more involved. You know, because the National Reserves, the... What do they call that, Gerard?
You're talking about the National Guard?
National Guard. Right. The National Guard is under the control of the federal government, and they control the whole process. And the states have been almost cut off from that. And they have no say because they don't have any say for legislation because they don't control their senators. They don't have any say for legislation because they don't control their senators.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, there was a little feedback there from
I saw that.
Sorry about that.
But anyway, they you know, look at, we need to take this nation back. People, you know, we were talking with Brent a couple of weeks ago. We were discussing mm-hmm. this and putting all these ideas together to formulate and to assist the people across this nation in every single county to get the militia going. Mm-hmm. And he made a point. He says, you know, he had friends that when they were born, they were registered and had a registered number for the militia. Mm-hmm. You don't join the militia. You already are in the militia. It's your duty to respond to the call. Okay. And if you read the constitutions of many states, New York is one of them. It says that all the people have the duty to respond. Okay. To the call to protect the boundaries of New York. And it's in many, many constitutions. So you're already in the militia, but you're not participating in it. They've dumbed us down. They've removed that word. We're going to bring it back. And once we bring the real militia back up, and a real militia, let's say a county will have a minimum. They're broken up into three pieces in each county, three sections. And each section has to have a minimum of 100. Okay, so when a county achieves 300 people in the militia, okay, that are serious people, not the reserve part, but the militia part, that's when we approach the state for them to take control and to start legislation to get the real militia moving and going that is constitutional and under the common law.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, I want to say thank you for joining me for this very quick hour, actually. We're getting to the top of the hour here, and we're going to have to turn it over to Pixels and Classy Lady there. Good Saturday afternoon to you guys. Are probably afternoon already.
Well, one other thing, if anybody has any questions that we haven't had time to answer here, come to our Monday night meeting at nationallibertyalliance.org. Click mm-hmm. on our weekly call button. You'll find many ways to join us. And 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 hours. Ask your questions. Give us correction. Offer ideas, create committees, get involved, and let's save this nation.
I agree 100%. Thank you again for joining me, Gerard and John. Thank you so much. We certainly appreciate it. And to kind of, again, put a little slash mark between us and Class Lady and Pixels here. Here, you know, turn it up. That's all I got to say. Turn it up, folks.